I'm Wes Shank, the host of the Missouri Wind and Solar Podcast, coming to you from our store in Seymour, Missouri. We hope you'll enjoy our discussions on renewable energy and the products that make that possible. Thank you for downloading our podcast, and we hope you'll subscribe. So welcome back to the Missouri Wind and Solar Podcast. I've got David McDerris back with me today, the general manager here at Missouri Wind and Solar. We've got two dogs with us today, so we're actually picking up on the number of dogs. We've got Tessa visiting with us today, and got Lucy as always over here. She's manning her pillow over there, but we do have Amber's dog Tessa down here at her feet. She's going to be pawing us gently throughout the thing. But again, David's here today. We're going to talk about batteries. Battery sizing, and I'm going to hit him up on some other questions that he's not prepared for with any luck. Catch him off guard, see if I can stump him. One of the things that constantly comes up as part of all of our alternative energies products here is what to do with the leftovers. And it's not like Thanksgiving where we can wrap them up, stick them in the freezer. We've got to put that somewhere. What we're going to start off with talking about is properly sizing. So what's even somebody like me, the company bean counter, what would you even start talking with me about, David, if I called in and I said, I'm going to buy a wind turbine from you, and I know I need some batteries. What do I need to do there? What's the deal with batteries? What am I even talking about with batteries?
Okay, so if you're going to call and ask me, you know, I'm going to buy my 2,000-watt general wind turbine that's capable of producing 2,000 watts per hour. That's its capabilities. Not saying that will be achieved at all times, but that's its capability. So I'm going to then typically ask you, Wes, what's your average wind speed? And you can obtain that through different entities, through weather stations. They will tell you maybe what your wind speed is or what your average wind speed is. And so once I know that, then I can kind of determine how much energy on a daily average I think that my turbine can produce. And let's just make up a number and say that I'm going to say 5,000 watts. So 5,000 watts would be what my daily average would be on my turbine. So with that, then I would start asking you other questions. Okay, Wes, what are you wanting to do? And if you just told me, well, I just want to run a refrigerator on a daily basis. Well, 5,000 watts is yeah, highly excessive, yeah, to a refrigerator. So your battery bank then would not need to be capable of storing the 5,000 watts. I would need a battery bank that would be capable of storing the 2,000 watts. So when I start sizing that battery bank, I would say, okay, now we've determined you're going to do a refrigerator, 2,000 watts. So a battery, when we look at a battery, and when we're talking in wind and solar.
All right, hold on a minute, because I really am, I'm your worst nightmare.
All right.
I'm an accountant who likes to periodically shock himself. So what's a typical fridge going to run? I think we've talked about that before in other podcasts.
Typically between 1,500 and 2,000 watts.
Okay. When we talk about that, what are we talking about that? When it's rated with that, is that, what's that saying? That's 1,500 watts a...
1,500 watts per day.
Okay.
So a daily usage, it'll run between 1,500 and 2,000 watts.
Okay. So we're saying right there that fridge is going to take 1,500 watts, and we're saying I'm going to produce 2,000 watts. So I got 500, an overage of 500 I got to do something with.
Correct. And so two things. I mean, I can either have a battery bank that can store my excess, if I think that 2,000 watts will be my maximum it'll produce, and I only need to use 1,500. I can get a battery bank that can store 2,000, just in case I have that day that it doesn't blow as hard that next day.
Right.
You know, so I have a little bit of reserve there, or that's when our diversion loads come into play.
Right.
So
dump
load, diversion load, however you want to say it. So what would happen there is once that battery has achieved maximum voltage, or our controller says that we're going to use a 12-volt turbine, and we'll say, okay, well, it says when it gets to 14.4 volts, that's as hot as it will let it get. That's as charged as it will get. So then our controller would say, divert power, dump power from that battery bank over through the diversion load.
Okay.
And that can be numerous products. That can be another battery. That can be our hot water heater and elements, which is a great one.
Right.
And in our actual DVL dump loads.
And let me back up because I want to ask you one other thing. And you know, you and I are probably, we're probably two horrible podcasters because we can get off on any subject yeah. wander around for an hour. When we're talking about the General, and you said it was a 2,000 watt.
2,000 watt.
And is that, that's peak though,
that's
right?
That's peak. And that is at peak capacity, so that'd be at its maximum wind speed that it can run, and that's per hour. So just 2,000 watts per hour. So if I ran at peak capacity for 12 hours, I'm going to produce 24,000 watts of power.
So
I'm going to either dump a lot of power if I have a battery bank that is rated for 2,000 watts of power. I'm going to dump 22,000 watts of power that day. So in doing that, that's I have to have a dump load also that is sized correctly for my battery bank as well. If I want a very small battery bank with a very large turbine, I'm going to have a large dump load, a large diversion load to take that excess energy away from me. So that's another thing to remember when sizing a battery bank. You're not hurting yourself as much doing a larger battery bank as you would be doing an undersizing your battery bank. So if you oversize a battery bank, the problem would be is if you were running on the always running on the deficient side. Let's say that your battery is full, at 13.2, but you could never get it past 12.4 because you just didn't have enough in your bank was too large.
Yeah.
That's where another turbine or more solar comes into play.
So do you run into the same thing being a nerd? Do you run into the same thing with the batteries that we're using here that you run with? Like on your batteries in your cell phone or your devices, where you get into a phantom charge, where you if you keep undercharging,
that's correct.
That you get into a point where that battery thinks
yes, and then you have to do what they call equalization.
Is that the same thing as?
And equalization, what it'll do is charges at a super high voltage. I say super high, a lot higher voltage than norm.
Right.
And what it will do is will equalize all the batteries in the system. And so it will bring it back, it'll put, basically erase any memory away from it.
Okay.
And it'll erase that memory out, and it'll start that cycle over again. So now I can go back to that optimal charge.
Ooh, and that can't be a good thing to do to...
Only once a month. Okay. Once a month. I personally do not recommend doing that on an automatic. I recommend you do that on a manual setting. That you
would
manually
seem like
you'd
equalize. Want to be there when that
you
happens.
Want to be there when that happens. That's exactly correct.
Okay, so like I said, I got you off on tangents.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about that, sweet Jesus, I didn't realize that we were talking 2,000 watts an hour.
Yeah.
So you'd have to have a ton of batteries,
right?
Or you're dumping. And let's make sure we're clear about this, because there may be some folks out there like me, and luckily I'm here and I get to see this stuff. When we talk about dump and divert, I think, I don't know that people don't understand, we're just talking about a heating element.
Correct.
That you're just dumping heat. I mean, you're
That's
just
right.
really getting rid of heat.
You're burning off you're burning off electricity in the form of heat, which is the most efficient way to get rid of electricity is in heat. And in saying that, as people are listening, and you start to develop a battery bank and you say, and I want to run a heater. Also, to remember in saying that, now I've just told you, that is the number one consumer
of heat.
That's
the way to get rid of your electricity.
That's the way to get rid of your electricity. So it takes a lot of power to run heat. And so that is the fastest, most efficient way that we have. So running a set of LED lights as a diversion load, it's not a good way. They don't use enough power to divert any enough.
You want to get one of our heating elements.
You want to get a heating element
and stick it out there.
That's
and
right.
Let it.
You know, heating element. Another way you can use as a diversion, but there's a little bit of issue with it, is another battery. You can divert power into another battery, but if that battery becomes full, you have no way to divert.
And if you're talking something that can produce 2,000,
that's right.
Watts
you can
an hour,
you can you... over. Charge that battery, and it causes catastrophic failure on that battery.
Okay, so back to what we're saying. So properly sizing, it sounds like if you've got one of our wind turbines, and even if it's just running in a moderate environment,
you could have a pretty substantial battery bank out there.
Our general turbine will produce the same amount of electricity on average on an average wind day that four of our 260 watt solar panels will produce.
And a heck of a lot smaller footprint.
And
it runs at night.
And then you have 24 hour capability of producing energy. That is correct. That's the number one. That's your number one right there. You can produce 24 hours a day versus solar. Solar is you know that you're limited to a certain amount of daytime hours. So solar and wind are great complements to each other. Typically here in Southwest Missouri, if you have wind, might not have solar.
So
you might have solar and no wind. They're in themselves. They complement each other well.
Okay, so let's talk about the batteries that we have, because I know we carry a ton of different batteries.
Yeah, there's tons of different batteries, and we carry a very small portion of what batteries are on the market.
Well, we like to just tell it like it is.
Right.
I mean, batteries are kind of the challenge of our sales force.
That's right.
Because they are expensive.
They're
expensive to move around. They're not expensive.
They're to transport. You're looking at always a Freightliner to transport batteries. UPS, FedEx, DHL. None of those entities will transport batteries. They are considered hazardous material, and they will not transport batteries. So we're always looking, you know, if somebody wants, even if it be two batteries and they weigh 50 pounds each, they still have to go on a freight line. So that gets expensive when you're putting them in a semi and they're transporting down the road. So batteries, I mean, there's tons of different batteries on the market. We here at the store, we kind of prefer Trojan. I mean, they've been great for the renewable energy field. They've strived to become better in the renewable energy field. I have a great reputation, I have a good warranty, stand behind their product. So we're comfortable with them. We like them very well. They make different styles of batteries, different sizes of batteries. Here at the store, we carry the L16 EAC, which is going to be a 370 amp hour battery at the 20 hour rating, which is very important. When you're looking at batteries and you call me and say, well, I'm looking at a battery and it says it's a 30 amp hour battery. Well, what amp hour, what rating are you looking at? Are you looking at a 5 hour, the 10 hour, the 20 hour,
or the 100 hour? What does it mean?
So 20 hour rating means that 20 hour, that will be able to produce at stretched over that period of time, not just a big like a car battery, it's cranking amp. So it's meant to put out a lot of energy quickly, but not sustain that.
Right.
So over a 20-hour period, can sustain the 370 amp hours. It can be drawn out over a 20-hour period.
Okay, so back up and say that again.
So if I've got 370 amp hours in the battery, times 6 volts, okay? So most of our batteries are 6 volts.
Okay.
So I'm going to multiply 370 times 6. That number is 2,220 watts. Wattage is the number of voltage times amperage. So it comes up with, so now I can disperse that over a 20 hour period. I can disperse that and not damage that battery, is what it's saying. So if I can disperse that over that period of time. So if I take out,
whereas your car battery is,
bam. That's right. It's just hit it and get it. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's not meant to, hey, Tessa.
You need to give Tessa some petting.
Tessa's needing some loving, so I'm giving her some petting here. Here's some chinking.
So that makes sense. It's the offsetting design of the car battery.
That's
the car battery is
cranking amps quickly.
This is slow and steady wins the race.
Yep.
Right.
This is the turtle.
Okay.
You know, car batteries is the jackrabbit.
Gotcha.
And the renewable energy battery is the turtle. It needs slow and steady. So that's what it is.
So do these batteries, are they like the classic car battery where you got to check them, keep the distilled water, keep them topped off?
Yes. Most of the batteries we sell at the store are what they call flooded lead acid batteries. what you're going to have a lead acid plate or lead plate down in the, and it's going to be submerged in a battery acid that's mixed with distilled water. And there's a ratio there that you'll have to keep.
Sure, it's, yeah.
And if you want those ratios, just call us at the store and we'll give you those ratios of what that percentage needs to be. But you'll keep that battery topped off. A low acid battery cannot keep the charge. It will deplete very quickly. So as soon as charge comes off of it, as soon as the solar sun goes down at night, if you're having a problem, if you already own solar or already own wind energy and you're having this problem of, well, as soon as the sun goes down, my batteries just immediately start falling quickly. That's the thing you need to check. Do I have the right amount of acid in my batteries? Do I have the right amount of fluid in my batteries? That's the first thing to check. Number two thing to check, do I have one bad battery? One bad battery in a set of 20
is going to pull.
Will make every battery act really like the one. Yeah, and you'll know this. Everybody can relate to this. You've got you're at the house and you push your remote control button and it doesn't work. And you think, well, I need a new, my batteries are dead in my remote. So you get up and you go to your battery box and it takes four AAA batteries. You got three brand new ones in the box, but you don't have the fourth. Well, I've got three brand new ones. I'll put them in there. That'll run it. And you push the button and nothing happens. Batteries work to the weakest link. It's just like a solar panel. They work to the weakest cell. So if that battery is a weak cell battery, all the batteries work because it is run in a, especially if they're in a series, because they, any one of those drags the whole series down. Parallel is you can get away with a little bit more, but series, they definitely drag it down to the lowest weak link. So if you had four batteries that are 6 points, or three batteries that are 6.6, and one that's 5.4, they're all going to act like 5.4.
Okay.
So that's something to really check out.
What about the need to desulfate? Is that?
That's huge. We got into desulfators here at the store.
Tell me what it is.
What happens is every time a battery cycles and then is recharged, there's a little bit of...
All right. Back up. Dumb it down.
Okay.
Cycles.
Every time we run it down to 50%, it's a cycle.
And 50% meaning
50% of the battery voltage. So the battery voltage on a 12-volt battery is
under 6.
12.6 is what no. That is very common. So that Wes just said something that's very common to think is half a battery. If 12 is full, then 6 is half full, and 0 is dead. That is totally wrong.
There you have it.
Not to make him, but that is that.
Wait till David sees his paycheck this week to find out. That is a total misconception of something being wrong.
So a true full battery is 12.6. 12.6 volts. That is a true full battery. It's 12.6 volts.
Wait. Why does my truck battery when I crank says 14?
Because it's under load, charging load. Because it's under charging load.
Even when I hit.
Because when you hit it and it comes back off, remember it's hitting so fast. It's already, and when you're cranking, you're also producing. The alternator is also turning because as soon as you hit and it starts spinning, so is your alternator.
Really?
Yeah. So it's already producing voltage down the line.
Pushing it back through it to itself?
And it's pushing it right back to that battery. But it's not an alternator is not producing over voltage. It's not producing, it's producing just right at 12 volts. So it could never, eventually it would crank down. Yes.
Okay.
So a battery is only charging if the battery voltage is exceeded. So if the battery voltage is 12.6,
you got to exceed
12.6.
Okay.
So
under is what?
So under, 12.6 is full. 12.0 is half full. 12 volts. If your battery is reading 12 volts, you're half full. If it reads 11.6, you're dead. You are totally depleted on a 11.6 battery. It will not run anything. It's dead.
What the heck? It's that.
It's just that's the way it is. You know. So every time it cycles, gets down to 12, it's cycling. and every battery is rated for how many cycles it can do. So that's another thing when you're looking at batteries. If you find a battery that's $100 and it's 370 amp hours, a 6 volt, well, that's a great battery. But it's only designed to cycle 400 times, and you're cycling once a day, that tells you that battery is just going to last a year.
Yeah.
And it's going to be dead. So, yeah, it's a great price up front, but if you buy it every year, that's not such a great price.
Yeah, that's not so cool.
So there you go. That's so every time it cycles, back to desulfation, every time it cycles, it causes a chemical reaction in the battery. And this chemical reaction is called sulfation. And sulfation is a buildup of a sulfate on the plates. And the more sulfation
on the
lead plate that happens, the less area, surface area, it has to attain charge off of.
Okay, that makes sense. So you got less activity,
you have less energy. So sulfation, what it does is it pulses the battery. It's giving it a boom, 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 boom pulsing deal. Take, for instance, you had lime on the side of an aluminum drum, and you go to the other side of that aluminum drum, you start boom, 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 and pretty soon that
lime
starts flaking off, starts falling off. Well, what happens is in a desulfator, it will chemically change that sulfation that falls off into the acid will chemically change and will eat away and it'll go away. And so we're able to take, not just us, anyone who wants to buy it. If you buy a desulfator, lawnmower batteries are the number one deal for them. You run your mower all year, it started fine, and you go up next summer, you kick the key and it, oh, my battery's dead. More likely it's sulfated up over the winter, not having charge going through it, not cycling enough, at a battery distance in SETI mode will sulfate up the same, just kind of like a limestone would. So the sulfation, you put it back on the desulfator, it runs through that process, it comes back out. I've done it. We've taken a battery from the local neighbor here that he said was dead. It was a 230 cranking amp lawnmower battery. He said it's dead, it's negative, it won't work. We brought it over. It tested 0.04 volts. I mean, so nothing for voltage. I mean, when I said a battery is 11.6 and dead, this panted 0.04 volts. So it was nothing. So we put it on the desulfator, left it on there for 48 hours. The battery tested 100%, that it was 100% charged. We took it off, it read 12.8 volts. We left it set for 24 hours, came back, it tested 12.6 volts, which I told you was a full battery. We took it back to his cranking amp tester, at cranking amp was 228 cranking amps is what it cranked. So we took a battery that they said was no good and brought it back to within 2 cranking amps of its original capacity, which may have been all it could ever do to begin with. That may have been. So just thinking your battery is done, I would definitely recommend trying to buy a desulfator charger, run it through that. It's got a test mode on it. It will tell you if the battery, it will literally test the battery. If the battery is bad at the end, it will say bad, and then you know it's for sure done. If not, you can maybe save $30 on a new lawnmower battery, you know, and get another year out of it. So definitely desulfators. And that's a desulfator charger. They also make what they call Power Pulse, which does the same thing, except it uses the battery voltage that's in the battery to run it. And so it's constantly throwing that pulse out. It's just doing that off the actual batteries. There's no external power needed as far as a 110 plug. It uses a battery voltage to actually throw the pulse back into its own battery's bank. So if you have a tractor, for instance, that you just want to make sure when it's running it's power pulsing, it will do that. You can put it on. You can put it on cars. You can put them on UTVs. You can put them on lawnmowers. You can put them on anything that uses 12 volt, 24 or 48 volt. You can use them.
So we probably need to talk about inverters.
Yeah.
How do inverters play into this?
You know, there's three parts in any solar or wind system or hydro system. I mean, you have the production, which is going to be either the hydro, the wind, or the solar system. You have the storage system, which is your batteries, capacitors. We use batteries. And then you have the consumption, which is either 12 volt, 24 volt lighting, or an inverter, which is going to turn it back to 110 or 220 power. So one and two work together. Solar and batteries work together to charge each other. And
with a solar and a battery, you don't necessarily need anything between them, right?
That's correct. You don't have to if you don't want to have to constantly watch that. That's where the control charger comes into it. It does that watching the battery for you.
And we're going to talk about that in
So then the inverter, number three in this series, it works off number two. So when we're designing things, we don't, number one and number three, they don't care about each other. They don't. So when somebody asks me, well, I've got eight solar panels, what size inverter do I need? Has nothing to do with it. The inverter does not care where it gets power from. It only cares about, as far as where the power is being produced from, it only cares about where it's, how many batteries it's got to draw from. How many available watts are in those batteries can I draw from? So if you say, okay, I want to run a refrigerator, we're back to that again. Okay, well, most refrigerators are going to be rated about anywhere about 8 to 10 amps on a 110 volt rating. So voltage times amperage equals wattage. So let's just say the 10, we'll just go to the high side, 110 volts at times 10 amps is 1100 watts. So I need an inverter that's capable of handling 1100 watts at a time. And you always have to remember there's going to be a surge. When the compressor kicks in, it's going to surge. So long as your inverter, let's say that I don't have stock, and I don't know if I'm making an 1100 watt inverter. But let's just say that the 1500 watt is the closest. You don't ever undersize it, you always oversize that. So 1500 watts. And let's just say though that refrigerator surged 1800 watts. Well, my 1500 watt inverters will either surge 3000 or 4500 watts, depending on the inverter that you buy. So
you're good.
What that needs to do is it's going to, when that surge kicks in for that 5 seconds, it's going to run it, you know, because it's got a 20 second surge on it. So it'll kick in and run that. So that's what we're doing every time we size an inverter. And then that's what we go back and look at the battery bank. Okay, we've determined that that refrigerator was going to use 1500 watts daily. So that battery bank that I had, if I can only use my battery bank down to half, and that's something I haven't touched on yet, but when you're designing the battery bank on a flooded lead acid battery bank to keep your batteries optimized at their performance level, you can only draw your batteries down to half voltage. So 12 volts. You could only draw them down to 12 volts. Anything under that, you take a chance of damaging the battery.
So we're going back to that. 12.6
is... 12.6 is full. 12 is half full. 11.6 is dead. If I draw down to 12, I need to stop pulling. If I don't want to damage my batteries, I need to quit pulling from them. When we think about that during the day, we're going to say, okay, well, he's got a battery. We need a battery bank that's able to run 24 hours a day and give us in that 1500 watts over a 24-hour period.
And so in the example we're talking about, you could run that refrigerator with one battery, but you may only run it for 10 minutes.
That's right.
It's
just a matter of having enough batteries to do it. So going back to that L16 that I talked about, they're getting it stored 2,220 watts. Well, if I can only use half of that down, then I can only use 1,120 watts. Well, let's just say that 1,500, I'm deficient. I don't have enough battery to run that 24 hours a day. So now I need two. I'll have a little bit extra. I'd have about, if they're totally full, I'd have about 700 watts extra. But that helps out for the next day when the wind's not blowing or the sun's not shining.
I got a little in the bank.
Having an oversized battery bank won't hurt you.
You're never going to regret.
Unless you do not have the capability of recharging that battery bank as well.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. So on that inverter, it's only going to pull what it needs for whatever's on that
side. It only pulls when the product that is hooked to it says, I need power.
And it's only going to pull what it needs.
Right. And an inverter, our inverters that we sell will have voltage, what are they, the true word for them? They're called, it's a voltage alarm. And it's got voltage capabilities.
So if it drops
too low, it kills. It just shuts it off. And it'll be followed by a very loud screeching noise that people, and in the same way on if it's overvolting. Say I have a 12-volt inverter, but I've hooked my batteries wrong, and I try to give it 24 volts. It's going to start screaming at me and saying, and make a loud screeching noise, and it's going to say, "You're overvolting me. I don't understand what you're doing to me right now. I'm not capable of that." And so it has both of those capabilities to undervolt and overvolt.
Can I run both my wind turbine and my solar panels into my same battery bank?
Yes. Yes, most of the time we will do that with one controller that's capable of doing both wind and solar. I personally like to split that system. I can go two different charge controllers into the same battery bank. And the reason I like to split that is because if my controller goes out, and if I'm on a split system and my solar controller goes out, I still have the capability of putting wind energy into my battery bank.
And when we talk about the controller we're talking about, tell me a little bit more.
The controller I'm talking about is a charge controller. And what that charge controller is doing is it knows a set of numbers, and it's pre-programmed with a set of numbers, and it says, okay, I'm going to give X amount of power to the battery bank as it needs it.
And then is it reading the battery's
back? And it's reading the battery voltage all the time. And so on a split system, if I had one for wind that was giving and I had one for solar, let's just say they were both. Let's just say it's a day like today here in Missouri. The wind's blowing about 20 mile an hour and it's bright and sunny. So, but I designed my system for enough wind, if I didn't have power from the sun that day, that the wind would be able to do my system. And I did the exact opposite and said, if I didn't have any wind, the solar would do it, because hopefully one of the two is doing the job. Well, today, both of them are doing the job and doing them very efficiently. So today, I have an excess amount of electricity being produced. So there comes back the dump load. I have to be able to get rid of that wind energy. Solar energy, you do not have to get rid of. Solar energy will not back up. It will not cause heat like wind energy will. Wind energy, once the batteries become full, if you do not have a diversion load or a dump load, the turbine will be allowed to free spin. And free spin is not a good thing. If you want to see what free spin is, look up some of the giant wind turbines, and you see the giant wind turbine fails, and they're going very rapidly, and then they catch fire. That's because that turbine lost load and went into free spin, and the bearings got overheated and had catastrophic failure, and they will eventually blow up. I say blow up, I mean come apart.
Catastrophic failure.
And so that's kind of what you're doing with the charge controllers. They make solar charge controllers, they make wind charge controllers, and then they make hybrid, which can do wind and solar both at the same time. That's the difference. That's the different charge controllers. And there's numerous charge controllers on the market. Here at Missouri Wind and Solar, we happen to manufacture a lot of our own.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. I mean, all the products we talked about, so we've got here at the store today.
Yeah.
We sell the Trojan batteries we talked about. We sell batteries from Interstate Battery.
That's right.
We can get the Interstate batteries pretty much anywhere in the country to you.
Yeah. Matter of fact, on Interstate batteries, let's say you're listening to this podcast and you're in California, and you said, man, I want to buy some Interstate batteries. You give us a call. We'll set up with the, you can pay us direct. We'll set it up with the local Interstate distributor, and you can go directly right there and pick your batteries up right there in California. You don't have to have them shipped across the country.
We can put our recommendations for you from their battery selection, and you can pick them up there. We can ship you Trojan batteries from here.
That's right. Yeah, and we ship all over the country all the time with our batteries. So batteries are a very crucial part of a, especially if you're an off-grid living situation. If you're an off-grid, the batteries are one of your major components in your set. I mean, that the all three components are very important, but if you do not have good batteries, it doesn't matter how good the other two are.
Well, it's like you were just saying. I mean, it's kind of thing where it's like anything else. You're going to get what you pay for.
That's right.
If you're not doing the math on it,
If you don't do the research and the math on it, then if you're just going to try to go out and wing it, you're probably going to get the wing it results. That comes the old carpenter way.
We've all done that.
Yeah. Cutting a board without measuring twice, and you're going to go buy a new board. So
cut that board again, and it's still too short.
That's right. And you can cut it as many times too short as you want. It's always too short. So.
Well, great. Well, as always, I appreciate you taking the time to come in here and talk to us. For those of you listening, I always like to end the simple, buy our products. Go on the website, call David, call Alex, call the rest of the guys in the sales department. Buy stuff from us. That helps keep us rolling. That helps us do the podcast for you. It gives David the time to sit down here and talk with me like this. We appreciate you listening to us. Tell your friends about us. We actually have some people subscribing now. That's kind of a mind blower.
All right.
That was shocking to us. We've got tons of videos out on YouTube. We're all about trying to help people learn how to do this. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to us, and we'll keep bringing more podcasts to you. Thanks a lot for coming to us today. David, again, thanks for being here, and we'll bring some more stuff to you next week.